This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Inside Story on BFM 89.9.
Good evening. It is 6:08 and you're with Lee Chui Lin and Shamila Ganesan. This is Inside Story. It is World Health Day today and the WHO's theme this year is Building a Fairer, Healthier World. So we're looking at what affects healthcare equity here in Malaysia.
So first, we look at how accessible healthcare is and how the pandemic has factored into this. So we'll be joined by Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Bandar Kuching and Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation.
After that, we look at whether our healthcare system is accessible enough for people with disabilities. And we'll be speaking with Muhammad Nazrul Muhammad Noor, a social advocate with Boleh Space.
And finally, we discuss the impact of geography and the urban-rural divide when it comes to providing healthcare. This is Inside Story.
It is 6:09, and as mentioned on Inside Story today, we are observing World Health Day, and more specifically, the WHO's theme, which is Building a Fairer, Healthier World, something that I think has been top of mind for many people, especially throughout the pandemic, especially as we watch the vaccine rollout and healthcare systems be tested around the world. So today, we're looking closer to home at how accessible healthcare has been in Malaysia, and the factors that affect that accessibility and equity in our country.
So this comes at a point when we've definitely seen our medical system, our healthcare system stretched in ways that we probably never expected, right? And so it increases and compounds the gaps that were there in the first place. So in a report by Free Malaysia Today, the Malaysian Medical Association president said that COVID-19 has increased the gaps and barriers to healthcare that already existed for vulnerable groups, and that this mainly affected migrants, the refugee community, and that means that healthcare nowadays is focused primarily on fighting the pandemic. And that means that those who had those previous challenges are often falling through the cracks. They already had minimal access. Now it might be down to having no access at all. And so the MMA is actually calling for these barriers to healthcare access to be deconstructed through some very large fields, things like legislation, education, as well as to look at the kind of tolerance and acceptance that we have of differences when it comes to how we treat each other here.
Yes. And I think that point that you raised earlier about how healthcare nowadays is focused on the pandemic, right? And that's very understandable because it was an acute need. It was something that happened. It was of grave public concern. But nevertheless, people continued falling ill for a variety of other reasons, for the same reasons that they would have fallen ill with or without a pandemic. And so I think that we are talking about whether it's about infectious diseases or for that matter about long-term chronic illnesses, right, that require care, that take up a lot of money, that take up a lot of resources, and that require an investment in time, both from the healthcare system as well as the patients. In those areas, we are seeing that kind of faltering because of the focus that's being placed on the pandemic. And so it's things that were highlighted, for example, by a health policy specialist, Dr. Kor Swee King, including childhood immunization, primary care, things like that. And I think that's why today we wanted to look at this, firstly, from a holistic point of view in general, how it is that the pandemic has affected equity and what it was like in the first place, whether we're doing as well as we would hope, but also more specifically talking about groups, right? Groups of people that have been affected by this, as well as the simple fact of geography, because as we know, the urban-rural divide in Malaysia is another thing that has been exacerbated by the pandemic, as we're seeing in education, and it stands to reason that healthcare would also be affected by that. So we are going to be hearing very shortly from Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Bandar Kuching, and Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation. I'm curious to know what your take is on health equity in Malaysia. Do you think that healthcare in our country is accessible? If you've tried to access healthcare in the last year, what was that like for you? Was it easy? Did you go public? Did you go private? Share your experiences and call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:14 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. We're focused on World Health Day today and the WHO's theme, which is building a fairer, healthier world. With that in mind, we want to look at whether we've been able to build a fairer, healthier Malaysia. We want to know what your thoughts are on this, especially if you've tried to or if you've accessed healthcare this year, sought it out. What was that experience like? And yeah, share your experiences. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. On the line with us now, Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Bandar Kuching, Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation. Dr. Kelvin, thank you so much for speaking with us. How would you rate or contextualize really health equity in Malaysia? Are we an equitable nation in this area?
I think while our healthcare system is probably one of the best in the world, I think there's much room to improve, especially when it comes to health equity, especially to give quality access to healthcare, especially to the vulnerable groups and also those that are maybe have less access compared to most of us in Malaysia.
What are some of the challenges that our healthcare system has faced even before the pandemic?
I would like to summarize the two main challenges that we face in Malaysia as the hardware and the software, of course. And when I'm talking about hardware, I'm talking about, of course, the lack of proper infrastructure, proper facilities, especially in the rural areas in Sabah, Sarawak, and even in Semenanjung Malaysia. And also lack of access, for certain people living in the rural, they have to travel more than 10 kilometers sometimes to reach the nearest healthcare assistance. So, and not just healthcare facilities, but lack of basic amenities, clean water, electricity, that exacerbates many health issues faced by the people. So that's on the hardware and software side, of course, the lack of manpower, lack of doctors, medical professionals, again, especially in the rural areas. I can give you an example. Like in Sarawak, 45% of rural clinics in Sarawak do not have trained doctors, are only handled by nurses, medical assistance, and this is while they have good intentions, but this is dangerous, especially if somebody comes in with needing emergency medical treatments, and this medical assistance or nurses cannot train to handle such an issue. So this is definitely one of the challenges that we face.
So what kind of vulnerabilities has the pandemic exposed when it comes to our healthcare, and really has it generated new issues for it as well?
I think COVID-19 was basically a stress test towards our healthcare system, exposing our frailties that has been long overdue, but also gives us an opportunity to focus on issues that we need to improve, not just our healthcare system alone, but health in our country in general. Like I mentioned just now, this pandemic itself, we show that conditions, especially in the rural areas, are insufficient. They do not have enough resources to handle, for example, if there was a pandemic that spread in the rural areas. We do not have the capability, resources, infrastructure to accommodate a surge of patients. And when I mentioned about conditions of health, remember there was a surge in Sabah at the end of last year. And then not just the surge of numbers of cases, but death rates that were actually higher than national average. Basically, that shows the effects of long years of neglect for healthcare system, especially in Sabah and Sarawak, and of course several rural areas in a peninsula, Malaysia. And on top of that, a lot of focus during this pandemic was put on the pandemic itself. But we have seen a lack or insufficient ecosystem to provide quality care for both COVID and undergoing diseases. For example, patients are still suffering from cancer. Patients are still suffering from other non-communicable disease, NCDs. And due to that, many have to delay their treatment appointments due to MCOs, due to insufficient manpower in hospitals. And this will exacerbate their issues, especially if not properly treated, if not properly monitored. Some people have to postpone or reschedule their elective surgeries during that period. And while we know that elective surgeries does not mean that it's optional, but it can, it does not involve urgent life-threatening conditions. But if you postpone it, it may be dangerous on a longer term. So we have to address that. It exposes our capabilities to handle non-COVID patients as well during this pandemic. Yeah.
And how accessible are our healthcare services?
I think in general, for Malaysians, especially in urban areas, it's relatively accessible. Most hospitals or healthcare qualities are within 5 to 6 kilometers, which is within the recommended areas. But when we look at vulnerable people groups, and I'm talking about number one, Malaysians living in the rural areas, where, as I say, some have to travel many kilometers, cross rivers or roads that are non-ideal to reach to proper quality healthcare system, to reach to healthcare facilities that have specialists at those areas. That is an issue. And of course, and what this pandemic actually exposes, the importance of treating our migrants and even refugees as one very vulnerable group affected by healthcare inequalities.
So as you rightly bring up, migrants and refugees are among the groups that we really need to be looking at and talking about. How can we tackle this issue, especially when it comes to equality and equity in healthcare for these groups?
As mentioned just now, I think this pandemic has shown that if any one of us is affected, every one of us is affected, including the migrant and these vulnerable groups. So I think while this is a very sticky and complicated issue, I think we need to have a more supportive healthcare system for this, for them, or maybe even more support towards NGOs or bodies that provide healthcare care for these groups to make sure that they also have good quality healthcare so that infectious disease do not spread among them, which could also spread to the people.
And can more be done? How can healthcare access be further improved for vulnerable groups?
I think one of the things that has to be removed is stigma and also even to a certain extent xenophobia from these vulnerable groups. I think they should be given rights to quality healthcare, to proper living conditions. As I said, not just healthcare system, but their health in general. So as we improve that whole ecosystem and accommodate them and understand that they're in our community, I think we can then take a huge step in providing better equity for them.
Just to kind of sidestep this a little bit, because public healthcare has always been compared to private, and private is seen as more efficient, having better facilities. What are some of the plus points, though, of our public system?
As I said before, our public system is probably one of the best in the world in terms of access, in terms of affordability, and in terms of specialists that's being offered. I think one of the main plus points, almost actually 70% of our country's population goes to the public system for their healthcare services. And that's a good thing because we provide good quality healthcare system. But of course, there's room for improvement. Actually, a lot of the good doctors, a lot of the good specialists are in the public system. So, and that's something that we should celebrate and something that we should be proud of.
So is the point then also for the public healthcare system to match up to the services of private healthcare?
I think, of course, there's always room for improvement. But I think it should play also, the private healthcare should play a complementary role to the public system. I think as we improve the public healthcare, I think even the private sector will have an important role to play and that to cater for the whole population in Malaysia.
What are some priorities that the government should set in order to improve our healthcare?
I think, as mentioned just now, I think the two main things we need to address is, of course, the hardware and the software issue. I think we need to provide proper infrastructure and facilities, especially in the vulnerable groups, and I'm mentioning the rural areas. We need to prepare basic amenities, electricity, water, that will have a huge influence in the whole general healthcare of the people in those areas as well. And software, we need enough specialists. We need enough doctors, we need enough medical professionals, especially in the rural area. We cannot just have a blanket. We have to go into a macro level in every district and every rural area to make sure that they have enough manpower to handle the needs of the community in those areas. So there are a lot of things that can be focused upon, but I think these are the two main tips.
And let's briefly talk about the yearly budget for the Health Ministry. Do you think it's enough?
When I first saw the budget itself, I made a comment that I thought that this was a short-sighted budget, even though that there was I expected a lot, basically, from this budget, especially amidst the pandemic. We see certain level of increase, 4.3% from 2020, but percentage rush is lesser than the year before. And even in a pandemic, with such increase, it's definitely not enough because it does not cover a lot of issues. For example, long-term gaps that this pandemic has revealed. It is more reactive rather than long-term proactive addressing long-term healthcare issues, and also lacks in terms of a plan to address other diseases other than COVID-19.
What solutions do you think the ministry and government could explore to maximize the use of existing resources?
I think they must come up with a long-term plan in terms of how to address this whole the pandemic as number one, and also other diseases in the event of future pandemics, because this will not be the last pandemic that we will face. But I think the government needs to sit down, have a bipartisan a panel of experts to review the whole lessons learned within this year, and also to come up with substantive, tangible policies for us to focus upon, and that can be long-term, and that can be done by any government that's in power.
And in closing, what is your wish for this year's World Health Day?
I think there is so much that we can be proud of in terms of our healthcare system. There is so much we can learn from the past year. But I think one thing that I want to see is not just an improvement on the healthcare system itself, but improvement of health in Malaysia. There's so much to be done, so much to educate people, in terms of having a healthy lifestyle, in terms of promoting health, so that the healthcare system itself will also thrive because of that.
Dr. Kelvin, thank you so much for speaking with us this evening. That was Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Bandar Kuching and Chairman of the Parliamentary Select Committee on Health, Science and Innovation, speaking about health equity here in Malaysia, whether or not it's sufficiently accessible and accessible for all. We want to know what your experiences have been and what your thoughts are in terms of maybe improving this, particularly for vulnerable groups and for people who maybe don't live in urban centres, something that he mentioned earlier as well. You can call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Build Fairer Malaysia. BFM 89.9.
It is 6:38 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And today the story that we're exploring is World Health Day, which is today itself. And the theme from the WHO is building a fairer, healthier world. So we are looking at what that means from a Malaysian context. Earlier, we heard more broadly from Dr. Kelvin Yee, MP for Bandar Kuching, about what this means for Malaysia and how accessible really our healthcare is in the country. And now we want to talk a little bit more about groups that that have needs that are different, right, from the rest of us necessarily. And so, for example, one area to explore, aside from what we heard earlier, migrants, refugees, are people or persons with disabilities.
So it's interesting. We didn't plan it, but earlier when we were doing our segment about e-wallets, all of the people who talked about the need for these, for that particular system to encompass or to think about people with disabilities, and the healthcare system is one of those. And there's long been calls for the government to build an inclusive healthcare system, right? And this was renewed on the 5th of April in a report in the New Straits Times, where the National Council for the Blind Malaysia talked about how the government needed to look into making the access to COVID-19 vaccines accessible to the blind. And they also talked about concerns over the accessibility of nearly 600,000 people with disabilities around the country when it comes to getting vaccinated. And the council also talked about the fact that they do have to include people with disabilities and their representatives in the policy-making process, because that really is one of the most important ways in which you can create that inclusive space for them.
Yes. And if we look at a more regional point of view, right? So the council has also said that in conjunction with World Health Day 2021, the government needs to look at fulfilling the ASEAN Enabling Master Plan 2025, which encompasses a number of different things, facilitating the process for registration for vaccination, ensuring they're accessible, as we're talking about, providing appropriate equipment, ensuring that facilities have services such as ramps, accessible parking spaces, accessible information, sign language interpreters, ensuring that vaccinators and staff are trained to interact with people with disabilities, and including primary care providers of persons with disabilities as part of the priority group. And, you know, I think we are talking about this very much in the context of COVID-19, and that is understandable. But a lot of what these suggestions are would also qualify for healthcare in general for persons with disabilities, you know, things like appropriate equipment, facilities and services, ensuring that staff are trained to interact with people with different needs. I think these are all elements that should be included in healthcare as a whole.
Yes, and there are things that we don't necessarily see enough being done to accommodate people in this group when it comes to accessing something that really is a basic right, right? I mean, to be able to access healthcare is something that everyone should be able to do. And I agree with Dr. Calvin Yee earlier when he said we do have a really good public healthcare system, but that system shouldn't let people fall through the cracks simply because they can't access that system.
Mm. So we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on how Malaysia could be building a fairer and healthier version of ourselves, right? Like increasing that access and that equity to healthcare in our country. How can we make it equal, basically? Call us 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Joining us now over Zoom, we have Muhammad Nazrul Muhammad Noor, social advocate at Boleh Space. Nazrul, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Hi.
I wanted to know, Nazrul, could you talk to us about what it's like for someone with a disability navigating the healthcare system in Malaysia?
Okay, in terms of access, maybe, I can say maybe, because in a way of saying, I am a person with disabilities, but I'm more focused towards the physically disabled. And also in terms of the accessibility, what can I say, in terms of the healthcare system, in terms of the healthcare institutions, in terms of physically, they are okay, but maybe in terms of people with hearing, people with those sightedness problem, maybe they will have a problem in terms of going to the hospital as well because of the lack of the, what you call this. Okay, for those with a hearing problem, they may encounter problems such as there are no immediate translator for them, or you can say a sign language interpreter for them to express their concerns. So their caregiver, they have to have a caregiver. So in terms of that, it hinders the persons with disability to live independently, which is what we are focusing in today's world, actually.
So, yeah, I mean, I think you bring up a fair point, right? When we talk about people with disabilities, this actually includes a very, very diverse group of people with very different needs. Now, how can the healthcare system work towards understanding and accommodating all these different needs and requirements?
Okay, the first thing first is, okay, for me as well, I can talk about the physical, but I may not be representative to all, but I'll try my best to share it today. So in terms of, like what I said earlier, the point is, for example, providing the way for those with hearing problem to communicate. Okay, the easiest, or I can say it's a one word for it, is eliminating or reducing the barriers.
And I would also like to know, I think, what are some areas in the Malaysian healthcare system that have worked well, especially in terms of accessibility?
Okay, like I said, we are good in terms of seeing those with physical symptoms or physical disability. They are trying hard to improve on that, but they may forget or they may haven't looked into or maybe just missed out some points in terms of providing a more inclusive space for those with blindness, or I can say, sorry, maybe that word is quite harsh, or I can say with sight problems. It will be a problem for them. Okay, there is some of the groups that are being, I can say, not really focused into in terms of developing an accessible environment, I can say.
Do you think there are enough people, enough representatives of people with disabilities being consulted when it comes to how the healthcare system can be improved?
Okay, in terms of enough or not, I can say it's not enough, because most of the time they consult only for those with physical disability, but there are lots of disabilities such as mental. Okay, I can say our psychosocial disability. Okay, the new term for mental disability is a psychosocial disability. This is because of it is to make it more inclusive. Because in terms of using the word mental disability, okay, I think this is one of the group that is being least focused in terms of developing those policies. Not only that, there are some of them who are in the rare disease part. Okay, which is rare disease is slowly being accepted as part of the disability as well, because some of the rare disease does cause some types of disability.
And Nazrul, in closing, would you like to leave us with a wish this World Health Day and what it might take to build a fairer, healthier world?
Okay, in terms of my wish for the World Health Day, okay, what I wish for all of us is actually for providing the persons with disabilities, especially for those with rare disease, don't discriminate us, provide us with enough, first is facilities and accommodation. Second is provide us with a sense of welcomeness.
Nazrul, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Okay, you're welcome.
That was Muhammad Nazrul Muhammad Noor, social advocate at Boleh Space, speaking to us about accessibility, particularly for persons with disabilities and our healthcare system. We want to know what your experiences or thoughts are. Again, for World Health Day, the theme is building a fairer, healthier world. So we want to look at what that means in the Malaysian context. You can call us with your thoughts, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. Keep it here on the Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It is coming up to 6:51 and you're listening to Inside Story with Lynn and Sharmila. And we've been focused this hour on World Health Day, which is today, the 7th of April. And also, more specifically, looking at the theme of access and equity when it comes to healthcare. Is access to healthcare equal across our country? And we've been exploring that from a more general point of view and looking at how the pandemic has affected that. We spoke earlier with Dr. Kelvin Yee on that angle. And we just heard from our previous guest, Muhammad Nazrul Muhammad Noor, social advocate at Boleh Space, on accessibility for people who are living with disabilities. And now we want to talk about something that is in a way more basic and also more untenable, which is inequity when it's based on location.
It's easy for those of us who live in urban centres to think that what we experience is across the board the same across Malaysia. But I think more and more we're beginning to realise, and I'm glad that we get these stories from other parts of Malaysia, because when we look at just based on the urban-rural divide alone and how geography impacts what people have access to, something as simple as healthcare can vary so differently. According to ME research, in an article in New Straits Times, for instance, Sabah and Sarawak faces so many challenges compared to Peninsular Malaysia, right? So, for instance, there's the low distribution of doctors and specialists to begin with. And then the fact that there are a lack of medical centers have actually increased the cost of healthcare. So not only are they struggling with a lack of specialty in the first place, they also might have to end up paying more for that healthcare in the first place. And then we have just a lack of infrastructure because places are just further away or more remote, and therefore having to put those structures in place to provide adequate healthcare becomes a challenge.
Yeah. And I think to be specific, when we talk about infrastructure, right, again, when you look at it through an urban lens, it's very easy to think, oh, it's about building a hospital, it's about building a clinic, it's about creating these spaces. But actually, it's about navigating, in some cases, wilderness, or in some cases, just inaccessibility, literally so. You might be blocked off by any number of things. You might be 8 hours away from your nearest hospital or even from your nearest center with the medication that you need. In order to access that may involve speedboats. It may involve, things that here, I laugh simply because here it's not something that we necessarily think about. And yet, just a few hours away from us, that may be the case. And I think when you talk about things that involve critical care, so ventilation, for example, is something that many of us have had on our minds, I think, because of the pandemic. And when you think about the access to ventilators and where it is that we're placing them, then I think that also opens us up to thinking more about what infrastructure might actually mean.
And, you know, when I mentioned healthcare workers earlier, we spoke earlier to Dr. Kelvin Yee, Kuching MP, and he's been talking for a while about investing more in public healthcare, but also increasing the number of healthcare personnel or working on creating more incentives to have people come and serve in parts of the country. So, for instance, 98 out of 215 rural clinics in Sarawak don't have a doctor. And so they're actually managed by medical officers and nurses. Now, that in itself is a problem because then this leads to burnout in those people who are there providing that kind of care. And he also talks about how the health ministry should encourage healthcare workers to work in these areas that lack proper medical facilities. So it is... I think it's very easy to talk about equity without realizing that the structures that have to be put in place, the systems that create that equity, are already lacking in the first place.
Yeah. And, you know, it's becoming increasingly clear to me as we discuss this, that this is very much an institutional or rather governmental response that is required more so than it is going to be on an individual basis. But, you know, if you have thoughts really on how it is that we can increase healthcare equity in our country, let us know what that might be in conjunction with World Health Day. Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio. This is Inside Story, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.